Maker of Heaven and Earth by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Starting from the first clause of the Apostles' Creed, we suggest several reasons for believing in God, the Maker of Heaven and Earth. We believe in this God because his existence explains the nature of the universe, the nature of living things, and the nature of the Bible. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. So begins the Apostles' Creed, a very early formulation of historic Christianity. Anyone who has read the Bible knows that this is what it teaches also. Yet today, this belief is widely rejected, especially among people who consider themselves to be well-educated. For instance, Carl Sagan, in his acclaimed PBS series Cosmos, begins his presentation with these words: "The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be." I studied science for a number of years myself. I have a PhD in theoretical astrophysics, and I believe in God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I think there are good reasons for believing this. That's what we want to discuss here. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, because the existence of God explains the nature of the universe. The existence of God explains the nature of living things. And because God said so. Let's have a look at these three reasons. God's existence explains the nature of the universe. Universe today. We currently live in a very large universe, which is billions of light years across. Light year, if you don't know, is about 6 trillion miles. So billions of trillions of miles, huh? This universe is in the process of expanding. The galaxies are obviously moving apart, and we think this is because the space in which they are immersed is expanding, rather than just movement within our space, though certainly there's movement within our space going on. Universe back then, the universe was once, early in its history, very dense and very hot. We can tell this by extrapolating backwards in time, and by observing remnants of its early history. The cosmic black body radiation apparently comes from the time when the universe went from opaque to transparent, and tells us that at that time the temperature was about 3,000 degrees Kelvin, absolute, not much difference than 3,000 degrees centigrade, and that it has cooled off by a factor of about 1,000 since then. We can also tell this from galaxy counts and early galaxies. Galaxy counts show us that the universe at great distances, and at great distances we're looking back into the past, cannot separate those two out, galaxies were more crowded than they are now. And they also look different at the very most distant galaxies that we can see in the Hubble Space Telescope, for instance, and suggest that those galaxies have developed a great deal over their history. We can also see this from recent evidence that the universe is expanding more rapidly now than it was earlier in its history. Is the universe oscillating? Until the 1990s, this was widely favored as the way to avoid a beginning of the universe, for example, by Isaac Asimov in his popular science writings, or by Carl Sagan in his PBS series Cosmos. This now appears to be impossible reasons. It looks like the universe will expand forever, whereas an oscillating universe has to expand and contract and expand and contract. And it looks like a collapsing universe, which would be in the contracting phase, would not be able to balance to shift into an expanding mode. And so now appears that an oscillating universe is impossible. Is the universe just a bubble? A recent alternative to a universe with a beginning is to claim that our universe had a beginning, but it was just a bubble in an infinite universe with no beginning. Well, we're finite beings. We're inside this universe, looking around, not outside, looking in. So this can't be ruled out with our finite human knowledge. But neither do we have evidence for this hypothetical unseen universe outside ours. The history of recent cosmology, of cosmology in the 20th century, has been one frantic attempt after another to avoid a universe with a beginning in the face of mounting evidence that this is just the sort of universe we live in. A universe created at the Big Bang fits the known data better than the alternatives do. In recent decades, physicists and astronomers have noted that this universe also looks designed, what they call a fine-tuned universe. The basic forces are finely tuned to permit life in our universe. I examine this in some more detail in another one of our PowerPoint talks, one we call Cosmos and Contact, Evidence of Design in the Universe. And besides the basic force of the universe, our own environment here on Earth may well be unique in the universe in allowing advanced life. We look at that in that same PowerPoint talk. A recap. So I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, because the universe looks like it was created. Move on to our second reason. God's existence explains the nature of living things. Consider the origin of life. Bible believers disagree on the age of the earth and whether God used evolution as a part of his creative activity or not. But people who believe that life arose by chance, by purely natural, undirected processes, face insuperable problems in dealing with the origin of life. Let's see. Think about simple life. Even the simplest known life is very complex. Carl Sagan, in his article Life in the Encyclopedia Britannica, estimated that the information content in the simple E. coli bacterium equals the information in about 4,000 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. In recent years, we've done some work on the minimal complexity of the simplest known organisms. And for the simplest known organisms that can live independently, the minimal complexity is about 1,500 gene products, proteins and such, and so the DNA or such, or RNA in some cases, necessary to make about 1,500 different sorts of proteins is needed for a being that can live independently. And about 500 for parasites. That is an enormous amount of information to construct by random processes. And until you've got something that will reproduce itself, you've got no way for mutation and natural selection to generate this complexity. In regard to this question of producing order, it's very hard to produce organization by random processes. Consider the problem of getting trained monkeys to type the words Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, some atheists have claimed that if you have enough monkeys and enough time, they will eventually type out the Encyclopedia Britannica. In their worldview, that in fact is what has happened. Apes, not monkeys, evolved into humans, and the humans eventually typed Encyclopedia Britannica. But if you take monkeys the way they currently are now, but imagine them trained to type, how long does it take just to type that title, Encyclopedia Britannica, and just to type that title in all caps on a typewriter that doesn't have upper and lower case, but just uppercase? Well, if the monkeys are typing at 3 characters per second, on special monkey-proof typewriters, and they use only capital letters and the major punctuations, it turns out that it would take 30 billion, billion, billion monkey years to do this. That is, you've got 30 billion, billion, billion monkeys, you do it in a year. You've got one monkey, like 30 billion, billion, billion years. The history of the universe is probably something like 13, maybe 14 billion years. That would still leave you having to have about 2 billion, billion monkeys. Pretty tough point. Consider the problem of forming a single specified protein. The simplest proteins that we see in living things are 100 or more linked amino acids. And we have 20 standard amino acids that show up in living things. Lots more amino acids can be made, but only these 20 show up in life that we know. Imagine that all the nitrogen in the universe is tied up only in 100-link amino acid chains. And each of these chains can trade partners as fast as the amino acids can move from one to another, a few angstroms, in at standard temperature or pressure, whatever speed they'd be able to move around at that rate, huh? Well, it turns out there's only one chance in 10 to the 28th power that any particular specified protein that you specify in advance would be formed in the entire history of the universe. So, by contrast, minds can produce order very easily. All that in spite of the college roommate you may have had. You feel, by the way, he or she kept her room, that it wasn't very, that person's mind wasn't very orderly. So the Christian model that God produced the order seen in living things is a model that is known to work. Minds do produce order. There's no evidence that the atheistic model of randomness will work. So, recap, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, because the universe looks like it was created, because living things look like they were created. We come to the third reason, which I've titled, God Said So. Is this just an appeal to blind faith? No. Like the statement, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, is so often claimed to be an appeal to blind faith. No, blind faith can be very dangerous. A leap in the dark might land us in the wrong place. But believing what turns out to be true can be very advantageous, even if it turns out that our reasons weren't very good. That is, although it's important to use a good method, getting the right answer is what really counts. What's the importance of this point, God said so? When we say we believe in God the Creator because He said so, the point is that this belief is not just an inference, but it is the result of a communication from God. Many people believe in extraterrestrials, but their arguments are typically inferences. The evidence would be much more compulsive if these beings made a public appearance on the White House lawn. Human race has many who have claimed to receive divine revelation, however. How do we know the Bible is right, huh? We've got Muhammad, we've got Joseph Smith, we've got lots of others. How do we know which, if any, of these is right in having really received divine revelation? Well, we're trying to make this decision by looking at the evidence. The Bible provides excellent evidence that it is what it claims to be, communication from the Creator. I've not looked at every other religion by any stretch of the imagination, but the ones I've looked at are not impressive in this regard. They're major world religions. This excellent evidence that the Bible provides, we have reviewed a good deal of on our Hebrew website, www.idri.org. I give you just an outline here of what the evidence looks like. Our PowerPoint talks, over 100 of them, on our website. Research reports, about 60 of them on our website. Various lectures by different people, about 1,000 of them on our website, go into much more of this. Historical evidence, the phenomena of Sinai, that some group of slaves in Egypt broke away from their masters and wound up in Canaan, that they show up with a book that has impressive laws, far more impressive than the laws of the higher civilizations at that time, as impressive himself. And those who deny the miraculous have had to go through rather elaborate plot theories to get around this sort of thing, to imagining that the Israelites really didn't come out of Egypt to Canaan, but were just a rebel group inside Canaan, or that the material in the laws of the Old Testament was in fact written piecemeal over 1,000 years and put together by various editors and somehow foisted off on the Israelites that had been around since time out of mind. Plot theories, huh? The phenomena of Sinai point to a mind behind it all, a God behind it all. The phenomena of Jesus do so in a very powerful way as well. And this person who had no advanced education comes on the scene and turns Judaism into a world encompassing religion that now is believed by over a billion people, and that has had influence on the whole world for 2,000 years. Very powerful. Prophetic evidence is another feature. The prophecies about various nations around Israel, the prophecies about Israel, the prophecies about Jesus. See our PowerPoint talk on our Hebrew website, Jesus, the Testimony of Prophecy and History. We actually have about three PowerPoint talks on that. See the prophetic evidence regarding the nation Israel. See our PowerPoint talk, Israel, evidence of God and history. Besides historical evidence and prophetic evidence, there's also what we call personal evidence of the many, many lives that have been transformed by knowing the Creator and His Son, Jesus. By the societies transformed by Christianity. Several books on that subject out there. What if Jesus had never come would be one of them. Impressive. Summary. The worldviews we call atheism and secular humanism are purely inferential, with some bad inferences. They ignore important problems. So, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, because the universe looks like it was created, because living things look like they were created, because God said so. Conclusions? We as Christians certainly do not know all the answers, but God does. And we need not be ashamed to believe in the God of the Bible, maker of heaven and earth. Do you know Him? If you don't, I urge you to investigate the evidence. Investigate the evidence we've got up on our website. It's powerful. Not because there's anything great about us, but because the God of the Bible really does exist and really has given evidence for it. And if you do know Him, may you and I live for Him in such a way as to draw other people to Him. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all sorts of people to myself. Help us, Lord, in our lives to lift up Jesus. Well, that's the end of this talk, but the end is just the beginning if you know Him as your Creator.